everybody jump, 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 jump.
Yes. It's a Wednesday morning. Happy hump day, one and all. Tats in the Moose with you right here. CBS Sports Radio. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Mike Pete across the way. Bogish with your updates. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
That is your number to call. What's up, Taz?
Moose, what's going on? Rock and roll here. We got a lot of stuff to get into. We got a special guest in studio later, a very large
DeMarcus
person.
Where?
Yes, a large man. So looking forward to having DeMarcus here. That should be fun. We got to go over the fantasy draft, our league. We did the slot selections yesterday and the drafts, our teams. So that's interesting. We'll go over that later. A lot going on, my man.
Good show. Good show on tap.
Good. I think we're going to be good here.
No question about it. No question about it. I mentioned CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's start off with a little bit of football as we inch closer and closer, Taz, to the start of the NFL regular season tomorrow night, Bears and Packers in Thursday night football. But a couple of certainly noteworthy notes, if that is a phrase to say, from last night, and that is that the contract extension for Jared Goff and still yet for a contract extension for one Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I know. Interesting, right? The Ezekiel thing just popped up. I mean, really amped up, I should say, once we heard and we found out on social media that he was en route and he ended up in Dallas. He went to Dallas. So that's a good sign for the Cowboys, and we talked about it yesterday. Would he be there? Would he show up? Will he sign? Will he play against the Giants, a first week? You know, so that all remains to be seen. But, yeah, interesting. And obviously with Goff, the quarterback of the Rams, his big financial extension that he's got for the Rams.
Yeah, four-year, $110 million extension, for Jared Goff, all of it being guaranteed, and surpasses the $107 million guaranteed that was given to Carson Wentz. I'm sure Dak Prescott is happy to see the contract that Jared Goff just got from the Los Angeles Rams, and, you know, people can scream and holler in terms of who's worth it, who's not. It's a matter of leverage at the time that the contract was handed out, and certainly the timing of when you become or up for that kind of a contract extension, whether it be free agent or a year left on his contract and or even 2 years left on your deal, or when a team feels like it's in their best interest to try and lock you up long term and sign that contract extension and take care of you, or if you need to use a little bit of leverage like Elliott's doing with the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
But mind you, I'm not telling you that Jared Goff is worth being the first quarterback ever to get $110 million guaranteed, but, I mean, the money's going to go trickle down to the players. The National Football League is flush with cash. He's shown you to be a really good quarterback at times, and at times he's showed you the ability to really struggle, too.
True. Very true. I like Goff. I think he's a real good player. It's a lot of money, but you know what? He's their guy. He's, you know, he's McVay's guy, and you know, Moose, we talked about Jeff Fisher, you know, you've joked about, well, not joke, but it's funny to hear you rip Jeff Fisher. I've heard that when we first started.
Yes, that's exactly
and
right.
It's always entertaining.
Decidedly average, right.
There's a good chance that could happen in this show by you. We'll see.
Yeah.
But the thing is, my reason why I mentioned Jeff Fisher, because, geez, I got to tell you, Goff, I mean, once Fisher exited his life and the Rams fired Fisher and brought McVay in, man, things really changed for Jared Goff. You know, big time. And, you know, and he's at a point now, the last two seasons as a starter for the Rams, I think he was like 24-7. So he has been very successful. And I do think it's close to that high octane style of offense and a quarterback love that McVay has and his knowledge and that young, innovative style really helps a kid like Goff.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And, he's certainly McVay's a good quarterback developer, offensive genius that he is. And the quarterback and the coach they had previously was not in Jeff Fisher, Taz. You know, it's a testament to McVay when he stepped in there. He talked about making Jared Goff a player, that he was not going to be a first-round bust or the number one overall pick bust that many proclaimed that he was going to be after what he initially looked like under the tutelage of Jeff Fisher and company. And he's developed into that guy. I mean, there are things that bother you about Goff. I think last year's performance in the Super Bowl is a little bit troubling. There have been some instances in the regular season where you get a little bit bothered. I think he was clearly affected a year ago by the loss of receiver Cooper Kupp. in the regular season, where he made anytime you lose a big time receiver and cuts a big time receiver, it's going to hurt. But it shouldn't define you as a quarterback either. You should be able to still be, you know, pretty close to the same player, even though you might not be as dynamic and productive. And he clearly looked like he was affected when Kupp went out with that knee injury and then the severe knee injury and was lost for the season.
Yeah, and no doubt. But as far as last year goes, when he was, I think he was like fourth in passing rating or something like that, fourth in passing yards, I should say. And he's got a lot of weapons boosts around him. As you know, you just mentioned Kupp. And, you know, Woods, obviously, Cooks. You know, Todd Gurley was a huge part of the success, or has been, you know, for Jared Goff, even though he's banged up a little bit with that wheel from the end of the year. Who knows how Goff will be this year. I'm sorry, Gurley will be this year with a really good offensive line, too. So I feel like, you know, McVay and company and the organization did put a lot of the right resources, to the point you're making about Kupp, put the right resources and weapons around Jared to make him the best quarterback possible, along with having, you know, pretty good defense, too. That helps, too, as you know.
True. No doubt. He's got the support system.
Good spot,
and listen, and he gets that deal, and good for Jared Goff. So it was a good night if you're Goff, getting the 4-year, $110 million extension, and it being fully guaranteed. And he's the Los Angeles Rams guy for the foreseeable future. And then you get to Ezekiel Elliott down in Dallas. And here is his agent, Rocky Arsenault, talking about the contract process with Zeke.
What has this process been for you and Zeke? How's it been for you?
It's been tedious, but, you know, both sides kept it pretty civil. And he's excited about being back in Dallas. It's been a long journey, but he's excited.
What were his emotions, I guess, over the last couple of days as talks have progressed?
Excitement. Just excitement.
Is this where he wants to be long term?
Absolutely. That's why he's here.
What about the status of the talks?
What is the status of Zeke's negotiations right
very,
now?
Very, very close.
As in a day? Hours?
Close.
Minutes?
Close. Very close.
Do you expect him to play on Sunday?
I think Zeke showed his commitment by coming back to Dallas. So, I mean, we didn't come here now to do a deal. So I think he's committed. So, and both sides are. So.
What sort of playing shape is he in? Can he contribute immediately?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Rocky Arsenault gave you a little info, but not a lot. And, you know, and the guy talking to him pressed him a little bit here and there, but he was smooth, man. He was smart, not to say if he, you know, they were just saying how close they are, very close to a deal. Listen, if you're a Cowboy fan, you got to be happy right now. You got to be excited just to know that this guy is in the Dallas Metroplex area.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a big plus from where we've been from the beginning of, summer camp here for all these NFL teams. But
that gives you hope.
Big hope. When the agent goes public and says, very close, or extremely close, whatever his words were, you know that they're super close to finalizing this deal. I would assume it's done by today or tomorrow.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think a lot of people thought it was going to be done last weekend when there was a lot of heat to it. A lot of people thought maybe that it was going to be done yesterday. The reports were a 6-year, $90 million extension for Ezekiel Elliott. That deal did not get done just yet, Taz. So he's still waiting on his deal. But a lot of people, I think, and yesterday we chatted about it and we talked about it. I wasn't so sure that Elliott would be back and ready to go week one against the Giants. I was starting to feel like he wasn't after it felt like momentum was lost on Labor Day weekend to them getting a deal. Now you feel like they're going to get a deal done, which is great. I mean, you want to see the stars on the field, and you hope that the holdout, that he shows up in shape. You'd hope that there's no kind of injury early on. Is that the last thing you want to see if you're Elliott or the Cowboys?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, no doubt. And that's
the thing. You want to step back on the field, and all of a sudden you hurt your ankle or hurt your hamstring, and then all of a sudden you're lost for the next 3-4
weeks. Yeah, and that's the last thing you want if you're Dallas. So, you know, and look, Zeke's a pro, okay? This guy comes out of a powerhouse college program called the Ohio State Buckeyes. He's was a top guy at a top level with all this attention on him. Comes into the NFL, was dominant and has been dominant. He's last year was the leading rusher. I mean, so he will be, I'm sure he is in great physical condition. You know he's not lazy. You know he's not complacent. You know he's been training. But like we've discussed, you know, taking a couple of football hits and having that football reaction time is a little different. So I don't know if they want to speed that up before this Giant game happens. Who knows if he's going to start. Maybe he'll play a couple of series, Elliott. who knows? It's going to be interesting to see, you know, when they play the Giants, so to speak.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, I think, Taz, if he signed, you know, by today or tomorrow morning, I mean, by Thursday morning, I think Elliott's playing. I mean, I do, and I think he might not get the initial start, but right. I think he's going to play a significant portion of that game.
You're probably right. I mean, you know, I know what I think about with stuff like this, though, Moose. Like, it's interesting. Like, yeah, it's awesome. This guy's a great player. I'm a fan of the way he plays. You're a fan of the way he plays. Mm. And just as far as in between the lines, you know, the guy's a gamer. He's you know, he's a player.
Sure.
But if you're like Tony Pollard right now, you know, who's been getting all the reps, has been a starter throughout the preseason in camp, getting all the reps with the ones, and he's the guy. Players talking him up. The ownership talking him up. And now, and I know how it works, trust me. But I'm just saying, put yourself, you know, anybody listening to us right now, put yourself in Tony Pollard's position that he's RB1 all this while, and now he probably knew when Zeke came back he'd be RB2, but now it happened. So all this while, you're RB1. Now when it's nut-cutting time and it's game time, we're going to start the season, well, here comes Zeke Elliott on his white horse, and now you're RB2. It stinks for this kid Pollard. It does.
I don't disagree that it's a tough spot for him.
It's business, though. You know.
But he's also a rookie, and he knew when he got drafted by the Dallas Cowboys.
I feel worse
for the guy that, you know, is a running back or is sitting there throughout camp, and all of a sudden they acquire somebody right before the start of the year that wasn't part of the equation all season long. When Pollard gets drafted by the Dallas Cowboys, you know, he knows Zeke Elliott's
the guy, yeah, right? No, you're right. I agree.
He knows that he is the guy. But, yeah, you feel for him. But here's the deal. I mean, he's probably going to have a role. I mean, there's going to come a point in time where Elliott might need a little, you know, a refrain from a carry here or there on the football field. But we do know this. I mean, as it got closer and closer and closer, Taz, if the numbers are true, you know, what Stephen Jones said initially about Le'Veon Bell resetting the market was not true. I mean, if it's indeed a 6-year, $90 million extension, Ezekiel Elliott's going to win. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You know, even though you had the tough talk from Stephen Jones, even though Jerry Jones said, you know, you don't need a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl. You know, it's not about one guy. It's about a team. Even with all that being said, if that initial report is true, 6 years and $90 million, if that's the extension you're looking at, Ezekiel Elliott won.
Absolutely.
I mean, he won. I mean,
no doubt about it.
I mean, there was no resetting of the market by Le'Veon Bell. There was, it was the Gurley market. It was a step up in the Gurley market. Running backs will celebrate across the National Football League about that new deal. And they also realized the importance, and all due respect to Tony Pollard, that Tony Pollard is not Ezekiel Elliott.
Right, right. And like you said, Pollard is a rookie. And just to backtrack a little bit, you made a really good point about, like I mentioned, how it stinks for Pollard. But your point was, what about the guy last on the depth chart? So in this case, it's Jordan Chun. So this is a guy that, who knows? Now, he could get relegated to practice squad. You know, who knows? You know what I mean? Something like that, or just get absolutely zero reps, you know, at all. You know,
right.
So that's, you know, and then you don't know your future. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, it's interesting. But you're right.
I feel for all those guys. I mean, it was a tough weekend. I mean, everyone's out there celebrating in barbecue, beach, wherever you might be, pool, Taz. You know, Saturday and Sunday in the Northeast was nice, and you had over nearly 1,200 guys cut across the NFL.
Stinks. It really stinks.
That's, you know, where dreams have ended forever.
Yeah, it's horrible. And you know,
not all, right.
But some of these guys, you know, you hope for them they end up on another team, obviously, or maybe in the Canadian Football League, or maybe something happens for them with the XFL.
Sure.
Who knows? I mean, there's a little bit of options out there for these guys. Not a ton, but there are some options. But, you know, with Zeke Elliott, though, back to this, what you said about him winning, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. He won big time, and it just proves in the pudding, man. It's like his off-field antics and anything he's done, his immaturity, his unprofessionalism, his, you know, bad behavior, whatever you want to call it, his lack of character off the field and his little bit of history he has, it don't mean a hoot to Jerry Jones. It don't. They want to win games, and I'm not saying I agree with that, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, like, no, you're not wrong. You're absolutely right when it comes to that, and I thought it would factor in a lot more. It would have if I were owning the Dallas Cowboys, but if the numbers are true, and who knows? We'll see when the deal gets signed, when it officially gets signed, and exactly what this contract extension is. But the early report of 6 years, $90 million means that Jerry Jones could care less if you act like a moron away from the football
field. Well, that's the thing, man. And the thing is, dude, it's like, I know you know this, but maybe some people listen might not be aware. You know, you might look at, you know, you hear coaches speak in the NFL and you hear leaders of teams, top quarterbacks or owners or general managers on NFL teams talk. And they could talk and have and all this, whatever, coach speak or have all this positive and like this moralistic that they're perfect people. At the end of the day, this is a multi-million dollar businesses, these teams. And they put morals at times and ethics aside because they want to win. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you know this. I'm just saying, some people might not realize that that's all it's about to them. The mighty dollar, because there's a lot of money and a lot of pressure on all these people involved with these teams.
Yeah, true. Not everyone's a choir boy. There are certain teams, though, Taz, though, that won't do that. There are certain teams. They don't need everybody to be basically, you know, to be choir boys, on day in, day out basis. But as we do know, Taz, I mean, there's guys that get taken off draft boards, guys that say, I don't want to deal with that. I mean, there's a number of reasons, you know, a number of things when you go through that draft process where teams take guys off due to character concerns and say, we don't want to deal with the headache. But for the most part, you're right. The teams are going to look at the talent and talent reigning supreme.
I should have worded it a little different because you're right what you said. I think with kids coming out of college, they're definitely a little sterner with that. But once you're proven a little bit as a player in the league, like Zeke Elliott or other guys, or Hill, you know, Tariq Hill or one of these guys, or Hunt, you know,
there's just different levels.
There's double standards. Standards. Well, right or wrong. That's a double standard.
There are, but there's also different levels.
Yes. There's different issues.
Right.
I agree.
So there are guys, you're
right.
You look at it, there's different. Look at Ezekiel Elliott, you look at, it's not comparable to,
Hunt or whatever.
Correct. I mean, you're looking at, you know, physical violence toward women and some of the other stuff. Joe Mixon coming out of Oklahoma dating back to what he did before he even played a college game, Taz, in that video that came out there.
Yeah.
But you're right. Listen, I thought it would factor in more. I thought Ezekiel Elliott had to play the game a little bit more. I thought he'd get the contract a little bit easier. But, you know, if he ends up getting this deal and is on the field week one at home as the Giants come to town, Taz, Ezekiel Elliott gets the last laugh. And I'm all for players getting paid. I think it's fascinating when you look at all the talk the Dallas Cowboys did and all the tough talk that you got from Stephen Jones and from Jerry Jones and everything that they told you. You know, at the end, they blinked. At the end, even after all the talk, they said, no, we're not gonna make an example of Ezekiel Elliott. We need Elliott to win. So we want to win.
Right.
And they're going to blink.
And you're right. They did blink. No doubt about it. Jones blinked. And it was this public leveraging that made things worse. Boy, guys like us come out and say, they blinked.
Well, they did. No doubt. When you say, we don't need a rushing champ. We'll be Tony Pollard's grave.
Zeke who?
Right, exactly. I've earned the right to joke my years of owning the Dallas Cowboys. And then all the reports out of Dallas is that there's a pressure on them to get this deal done before game one against the Giants. I mean, Taz, I mean, that's the definition of blinking.
Yeah, that's a complete blink.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Full blink.
It's Taz of the Moves, 1 year take on the new Goff contract out there in Los Angeles with the Rams. Ezekiel Elliott, will he or won't he sign today? All signs point to that he will. We want to hear from you. We'll get into the Taz of the Moose fantasy football draft, the collapse by the Mets last night down in Washington. Nice job by those Metropolitans.
Do we have to talk about that?
Yes, we will.
I guess
it's
we have to.
It's Taz and the Moose on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes.
Ugh. What's the matter? I'm annoyed.
Why are you annoyed?
Well, because this fantasy draft that we did for our fantasy league, all the teams are dumb. We had a successful draft. Everybody's proud. It was under 55 minutes, I believe. We banked it all out. 12
teams. Yeah, it was
great. It was.
It went quick.
We all have pretty good teams. I know I'm happy with your team. I'm sure you're happy with yours. You had the first pick.
I don't love my team, but yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
Well, you got to adjust.
A couple things.
Season goes along.
Right, you're right. I'm a little ticked about a couple things already. We haven't even gotten past 24 hours. that these teams are made.
What's that?
A couple things. This Sam, your friend, the kid from Syracuse, that's a producer here
Rubinoff.
At CBS.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rubinoff. You know what his draft grade is?
What?
A. Like
good
A.
Good for him.
You know what yours is and mine? You got a C plus, I got a C minus. Okay?
There you go.
Yeah, so what? Was he like on auto draft? I mean, like, I don't understand how this happened.
Well, who cares what Yahoo graded you out at?
Well, these people have analytic experts that do this.
They're just going on their preseason prognostication. It doesn't mean anything.
You know what the commissioner?
Did you really go through everyone's draft and look at how the computer graded them out?
I did, bro.
Did you really?
I did. Pete the Body. Pete the Body. You know what his is? I'll tell you right now.
I like Queso.
Pete the Body commissioner. No, he didn't get A.
Oh, A minus.
He D. He got a B.
An F.
Okay.
He got a B. Okay. What's your, Andrew, what's your gimmick name here?
Connor Benji Heller.
Tobias Heller. Okay, so that is, you got a la 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 C plus.
Yeah, I don't care.
Wow, tough guy. And Mikey B, producer extraordinaire.
You're so bothered by this.
I really am, because this is annoying. This sets the table. Mikey B, you are father and son. You got a C minus. So you, me, Mike.
That sounds about right.
Me, Mike, and Pete Gass all had the least. We had C minuses.
It's perfection!
Okay, and it's ridiculous. What's that?
We passed.
True, good point. Shows how his life was at Syracuse. So, no, but anyway, I want to say this, Moose.
I'm a player. I'm putting AJ Green on IR.
Oh, wow. Moose is multitasking. I love it. Here's the thing, okay? I put out a proposal yesterday to somebody in the draft. I wanted to make a trade, Moose.
And
I wanted to make a trade. Already, I'm making trades. And it didn't go over well because I woke up this morning to an email from Yahoo from that person, okay? And that person is none other than Pete Gass.
I've seen Taz in the shower.
Who I like to call a bum.
Well, what was the trade offer? Let's hear it.
The trade offer was I wanted, you know what happened. You were in the draft. So right before I went, later in the rounds, he took Devin Singletary, the running back from my Buffalo Bills. I was fixing to grab him right there, Singletary, and boom! Wu-Tang Clan, that's Pete the Body, he grabbed them before me. So I wanted to send Albert Wilson from the Dolphins to him. I was the trade offer.
I would never make that trade.
Well, he said, this is what Pete the Body said in the comments. I woke up at
Pete 4. Guess.
Pete Guess, I'm sorry. Listen, don't ever correct me again. So Pete Guess said, I was laughing when I drafted him. This is the message I get this morning. Thinking how pissed you must be. I will trade him to you, but I need a running back, not some scrub Miami wide receiver.
Wow, unbelievable.
Yes.
How's that? Right? It's like, good morning, hello.
Good morning, gentlemen.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, I think you started it.
He's right.
I didn't think he'd pick up on it, but he did pick up that the guy's not that great of a player. The last guy I picked in the draft, I tried to move. Hey, you start low, you know? So now I got to figure something out. I got to make moves. What are you doing now? You're making moves there, Moose? What's going on? What are you doing over there?
Yeah, I moved AJ Green to IR.
Wow.
Picked James Washington. I would not make that trade. Just offer him a running back.
I know. I don't have a lot of running backs on my dealio. That's why I got to make some moves. We should maybe, I don't know if you want to do this now, go over maybe some of the top players that our team's got, because they're clamoring to know. I mean,
yeah, no, we'll
do later.
We're going to get into it a little bit later on.
Problem.
But
Moose,
I mean,
no
I
problem.
Would. But let me.
What's up?
So, why don't you fatten up, sweeten up the offer a little bit?
I'm going to need your help with that. I want some input from you, and you too, Andrew. Chime in. I really want Singletary. I'm showing my hand on national radio. Pete Gass, you know he's obsessed with this show. He listens nonstop.
Let's see.
Give him Nick Chubb.
Give him Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb, sixth overall. Wow.
Well. I didn't want that to happen. I didn't really want Chubb.
Now,
instead of Moose helping me, now he's going to rip my team. You hear? He's like, well, Robert Woods. Well, I don't know. Nick Chubb overall.
You really don't have a running back to offer him.
I really don't, bro. That's the thing. I really don't. That's the thing. I went heavy on the wide receivers.
Dude,
I got
you have two running backs on your entire team.
Yeah, but I'm going to make a move. This is my scheme. This is what I do.
Well, then you got to give him. You got to give him something of significance.
I'll give him
Albert Wilson. For a team that's gonna win three games. I mean, come on, man.
That was funny.
On the night of the draft, that's the offer you make?
Want to give him Josh Lambeau while you're at it.
Oh, great kicker. He's going to be great this year for me, Lambeau. Yeah, I mean, look, I got Aaron Rodgers, for those that are wondering, at quarterbacks. That's a pretty good deal. And I got a guy named Antonio Brown.
Got five kids.
So I'm looking pretty good here. You know, I got Eckler,
you're not, running back. But you have two running backs. For you have Austin Eckler and you have Nick Chubb.
Should I offer him Eckler? He'll take Eckler. Eckler's a starter for the Chargers. Eckler's legit, dude.
Until Gordon returns.
No, but, well, I don't think, well, he probably is not going to return for quite some time. They don't, you know, it seems like Eckler's going
to
be the guy.
You have to get creative. I think you have to go to another team, find a running back, trade one of your receivers to another team, and then pair that off to, Pete Gass.
That's called, hello, Mikey B. I need some help. That's what that's.
God. That's what that's. Get me involved.
That's what you need to do.
You think so?
Yes. I don't think there's any doubt.
La.
He's not going to. I would never take Austin Eckler for the Buffalo running back.
Would you? Okay, you wouldn't do that, Andrew. Would you do that? If you had Singletary, I offered you Eckler. Would you take that trade?
I would.
Right. Because Eckler's a starter,
and I don't think Gordon plays for half the season.
That's what I'm thinking too. So, and the thing is, Singletary. I want Singletary because I'm a Bills fan, and I do think with Shady being gone, Gore's not going to get a ton of touches. He'll get some. I do think this kid's going to get the ball a lot.
I think the upside to Singletary is a lot greater than Eckler.
Oh, wow.
I think Eckler's a nice complimentary running back. I don't know if he's good enough to be the guy. I had Eckler last year. I like Eckler's.
You had Eckler last year?
I did in one of my other leagues, yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
He's a good player.
All right. See that? You hear that, Pete Gass? Wherever you are.
So there. So make that offer. Put that out there.
Yeah, he had to do it. He had to take my guy because he knew that I was going to make that move. He knew it. And you know what that Pete Gass?
We should have went around earlier instead of drafting 12 receivers.
That's a good point.
That's a good point.
You drafted
like three backup tight ends.
They say it's a passing league, Moose. So
I understand. You have two running backs.
Running back is still a position.
I've never seen a guy put together a team where he's only got two running backs in their entire team.
And running backs were going like crazy.
There are
bye
weeks, by the way. I know that's a problem.
No, you're right. I have no running backs.
I thought it was like, oh, let's see who your third back on the bench is. Oh, there is none.
He has no running backs on the bench. Yeah, I gotta. Yeah, Pete Gass, I need help here, son. That's why I need Singletary.
He's not gonna help you.
He needs to receive. How do I see? I'm having a problem finding his roster.
He's not doing anyone a favor. Moose. Dealing with him last year, he's not doing anyone a favor.
There it is. I love it.
He's not. I'm just telling you, he's not. Bilotti will not be the shoulder to cry on either. He'll look to basically rip you off.
Yeah, no, he's a thief.
I like Queso.
He's a thief. He's a bad guy.
Just thorough.
And Pete the body in the message boards, he's acting yesterday. You guys all saw it during the draft. Acting like a complete douche. I mean, acting like a total tough guy, wise guy, smart aleck remarks.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's fun.
I just said I was going to win. That's it.
No, you made other comments that I can't say on the air. And then we had our two civilians that were in, and one of them kept thanking us. And you're welcome. Eli, I believe it was. Or Bradley King. One of
It was gentlemen. Eli.
Thank you, Eli. Yeah. You're welcome from us. So, look, real quick. I'm looking at Pete Gass's roster. So, he's got Breeze. He's got Adam Thielen. He's got Alshon Jeffery. Look at the running back. He's got McCaffrey. He's got Ingram. Mm. That's a bad pick. Mark Ingram. Bad pick. Okay, he's done. Okay, Ingram's not going to get nothing. That's a bad pick, Pete Gass.
Says the running back guru.
And, wow, he's got a lot of running backs. He's got Peyton Barber, and he also has Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, Peyton Barber stinks.
I know, and he took Hunt because I guess he's suspended now, Hunt, but he's waiting for him to come back. And he's got Singletary. So it shows he don't need three running backs on his bench, Moose. Come on, that's a shot at me taking Singletary. It is.
Well, he told you what he wants. You have to go get him. You can't offer, on what is going to be an awful offense. You can't offer, like, the secondary or third wideout on an awful Miami team.
And the comments.
And think to potentially get the starting running back in Buffalo.
Yeah, I would just drop Albert Wilson now. And
I would hang up the phone. Albert Wilson shouldn't even be on your team.
Well, yeah. I went low.
He shouldn't be draftable.
How is Albert Wilson on your team?
Believe it or not, he's actually, Albert Wilson is, as far, what do you call it, the hidden, not hidden draft. Like
he's not a sleeper.
He's
asleep.
He's a complete sleeper.
I didn't know the draft. I don't think Wilson was even picked.
Yeah, she didn't think he was in the NFL.
No, but put him in. Are you sure? Give you an option for him.
Is he an actor?
You know, he's... He's a sleeper. He's sleeping nonstop, Albert Wilson, ladies and gentlemen. But
how about your Mets last night?
Oh boy,
easy.
Trying to deflect from that conversation.
How about the Mets last night?
It was bad.
It's embarrassing.
What a collapse. Embarrassing.
It was a bad one.
Embarrassing.
That was a tough one.
Hideous.
Worst one ever.
They suck. I mean, it just he can't bounce. We can't. There's nothing no Met fan could tell.
Guess
a
we
Yankee
don't need
fan
my update now.
Or any baseball
fan.
No.
Take it away, boring.
Hey, take it away.
Take it away.
Moose is right.
Let's get some highlights. I want some audio.
Oh yeah.
Give me a little Dave Martinez.
And because I'm a gentleman.
I want to hear about the comeback. Give me a little Nats play-by-play.
We're going to do that right now, Moose.
There we go.
Calm down.
A little Nats play-by-play. Here we go.
Stop yelling at me.
There we go. Suzuki up at the plate. Diaz on the mound.
Stop yelling and I'll hit play.
Diaz on the mound. Second and third.
Typical Yankee fan.
Here we go.
Typical Yankee fan.
Here we go.
Here's the set. 3-2 to Suzuki. Swung on. A deep to left field. Way back. Going.
Everything is over. Charlie Slows, Nationals radio. Kurt Suzuki, 3-run home run off the useless Edwin Diaz, capping off a 7-run rally in 11-10 soul-crushing loss for the Mets in D.C. last night.
Yeah, I love the...
Here we go.
No, he goes.
That's an insult to useless people.
At the useless Diaz. He sucks. That kid's so bad. He throws gas.
And if Mickey Callaway hits this one more time, his stuff's electric. I don't know how it's getting hit. Well, because everyone's hitting it.
But what do you want Callaway to say?
He doesn't just say that sentence. That's all he has said every single time.
You know what I want him to say? I want Callaway to go away. That's what I want him to do. Go away, Mickey.
Last night was not Callaway's fault.
It's always Callaway's fault.
It's not. You can't. Yeah, here's what I love about the Met fan. Met fan doesn't want to give Callaway credit when they're winning, but when they lose, it's always Mickey's fault.
Oh,
and Mickey did it wrong.
No, he did two things right last night. DeGrom starting a year was the right decision, and I would have taken Lugo out as well to save him.
DeGrom went
for today.
DeGrom went too deep, dude. He should have been in that. What's the that home run
lead? Six-run lead.
What inning?
Ninth inning. What's the point of having Paul Sewald on the team if he can't protect a six-run lead and get three outs?
Yes, Sewald to me.
For that team in front of about 8,000 at that stage down in Washington.
Right. Sewald to me is the worst of the three because he gave them life to begin with to start the end of the Nationals. But then when it gets into a danger zone, I'm bringing Justin Wilson in, not Edwin Diaz.
I agree. I completely. You should be the pitching coach. You should be the head coach.
No, the pitching coach is fine. Grandpa's fine.
No, he's 110 years old. Have him be the manager.
How about that dude runs back from the mound just to show off?
Regan
he's 82
Jones.
And I'm skipping back to the dugout.
Looks great. Number 58. He's a stud.
Break a hip.
Yeah. Yes.
Let him pitch. Unbelievable. I'm sick of it, dude. It's over. It's over.
Yeah,
we're out of the run. We're done.
The Mets are down five games behind the Cubs for the second NL wild card. Those Cubbies beat the Mariners last night 6-1. But
We're out. Out, right? We're done.
I mean,
not officially eliminated.
7% chance. However they calculate that, I saw this morning, they have a 7% chance of making the playoffs.
Well, a 99.9% chance of winning the game last night.
I think it was 99.7.
There's always a chance.
There you go. There's always a chance.
You feel better, Moose. You're happy now. You got the little zing in.
That was a historic night. First Nats comeback ever from 6 runs down or more in the ninth inning to win it. Worst Mets collapse. Never happened in Met history before, blowing a 6-run lead in the ninth inning.
You know what the Mets should do? Why don't they drop Albert
never
Wilson out of my
before
team?
In the Mets should draft the Mets Albert franchise. Wilson. Never Wilson happened again.
Back. What's that?
Never happened before. Last night.
Did you say anything on SNY last night or did you just smile into the camera?
No, we talked about it. No, we talked about it.
Who's your thoughts?
Oh, you guys are so cool on SNY.
It's on Wheeler now to bounce back this afternoon.
And it's not on
game
anybody to bounce
YouTube
back anywhere.
Yes, it is. Stop.
Thank God that game's on YouTube. You can't find it.
Well, I mean, you're
it'll be easy to avoid.
Met fan, just negative.
Oh, God.
What am I supposed to be this morning?
Exactly. What do you expect the guy to say?
They got one
the game
out.
One.
They're going to win.
I was sleeping, dude. I went to bed. I thought we had the game in the bag.
You guys basically turned the page on the season in June.
Well,
because they were terrible then.
I understand. No, you turned the page on the season in June. You should be happy you're playing meaningful games in September.
Oh, yeah, but that was a bad loss.
Thanks, Mike. I mean, honestly, is this on the podcast?
No, I don't fucking mean.
Jeez.
No, it was a bad loss.
Suzuki-like.
Wow. I understand they got back in it, but, you know, it's just when you're that
close.
Yes,
Mike, I understand. It's a bad loss. I get it. Yes, I know. It's a tough loss.
Oh.
Bad loss.
Thanks.
It's over.
I know. It's done.
They can play the next week on YouTube for all I can.
What happens though if they win today and then take two or three from Philadelphia?
It doesn't. Well, no, the problem is they're back five in. Back with now Arizona and Milwaukee and Philadelphia in between
I
them.
I understand
and the Cubs.
They got to win games. Yeah. Got to win games.
You know what I think?
Arizona's got a very
this
favorable
will happen
schedule.
Again.
Moose, I the think Cubs that, beat up on other listen, teams in the National League Central.
I think you, as a Yankee fan, I think that you should take this on. Take the high road on this deal.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't think you're in a room full of Met fans and you're attacking and basking in the glow of your Yankee success. Our team stinks. The Mets
is James Paxton.
No, but it's passive aggressive.
It's there. It's there. It's underneath.
It's passive.
Never it can be inferred.
I'm not. No. You can infer whatever the hell you want to infer. I never even said brought up James Paxton. Yeah. I never talk about the Yankees in front of you guys.
Mm. The Yankees are boring in a good way. They just win. There's
they
nothing
win
to
all
say.
The time.
Hey, Mike, we've had enough. Thanks, though.
Right.
The podcast called Basketball Drives.
Wow.
Baseball.
Well, he talks about driving food.
That's yeah.
Well, he's doing well too. It's going well,
right? So because I grew up a Yankee fan, but I work for the Met station, I can't comment
what does
on
that
the Met.
Matter?
That
you
makes
keep
sense.
Saying that about you work.
Well,
for
I
the
do.
Met
I
station.
Do. I talk about the Mets more than I do about the Yankees.
What does that?
I'm on after every Met game during the regular season.
I know you are. So okay, but the thing is, and that's cool. But the thing is, though, you are taking shots at the team. In front of a bunch of Met fans that are sad right now.
I'm the one that just said I think Wheeler can bounce back this afternoon. You
He's
guys.
Not going to bounce back.
Come I on. Just it's said that.
He can bounce back. It doesn't matter anymore.
I don't think you mean
Oh, right. It doesn't matter.
No.
Right.
Your point was
today
that they do that,
the Cubs
go to Philly.
Lose,
yeah,
and they're four back.
And then game on. Let's do it.
It's like, oh, my God, we're back in. Yeah, right.
Come on.
You guys are frauds.
Oh, there it is.
You guys are frauds.
Okay.
No problem. You guys are, honestly, you are. Fine. Okay. It's over. You're right. It's over.
Okay. All right. No problem.
Thank you.
Right. No problem.
Go ahead.
Oh, there's still things to discuss. Hey, the Yankees won last night.
Roll it, Pete. We're good.
10-1 over the Rangers. And here's from Mikey. USA Basketball just ruled out Jason Tatum for at least 5 days with the sprained left ankle he suffered in yesterday's win over Turkey. The Americans finished round-robin play at the FIBA World Cup in China. That's tomorrow. Against Japan, and you know Jared Goff, 4-year extension, a record $110 million guaranteed dollars from the Rams. No extension yet for Ezekiel Elliott. Now
right.
I'm done.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
One holdout might be coming to an end with Ezekiel Elliott. Another one continues out in Los Angeles with Melvin Gordon. We'll give you the latest with that. It's Taz and the Moose on a busy Wednesday morning. Happy hump day, one and all. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Time right now to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later on in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. Wear at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
So you mentioned Melvin Gordon that I should maybe... No, what were you saying? As far as our fans think, make a move. Someone... who was it? Someone took Melvin Gordon? No, what the hell was it?
Yeah,
we mentioned Melvin Gordon, right? I can't remember what it was we were talking about. But as far as the fantasy draft. And
I said go get another running back then to pair off to Pete.
Right. And that's what, so, and as far as Melvin Gordon, and when Andrew was in there for his update, he was saying the same thing. Him and I are kind of similar page. It seems like he's not going to be back for a while. I don't know if you feel different, Moose. And now there's reports, apparently, that the Chargers are looking to seek a trade for Melvin Gordon. I don't know if you saw this, but, yeah, it's kind of new news.
Yeah,
so,
no, and we mentioned it going into the course of the break. It's, multiple picks, including a first-round draft choice.
Yeah.
A first and a fifth-round pick in exchange for Melvin Gordon. That's what Los Angeles is looking for. That's what they informed one team that they were looking for their star running back, the former Wisconsin Badger star, and they've not been able to reach a deal. They seem to be at an impasse. From a Charger perspective, at one point in time, about a week ago, they gave his agent permission to go out and seek a trade, and now we know exactly what they would look about like they would be looking for and what is in return for Gordon in order to give him up. Yeah, I mean, there's some belief that he'll play, the The minimum amount of games they need to play in order to register this season as a completed year. That'll be here. They'll be back with the Chargers midway point of the year. That, in essence, will probably turn into an absolute lost season for Melvin Gordon. I don't know. I always look at that and think about that is, and players want guys to get paid. And they want their teammates to get paid. And I understand. And high tide raises all boats, as the saying goes, Taz. But I think that would be tough. I mean, if I'm a Los Angeles Charger and I'm laying it on the line week in and week out, and you know I'm looking at a guy like Melvin Gordon, who certainly, you know, the Chargers reportedly offered him a contract that would pay him $10 million a year. That's not what he wants. He wants something in the neighborhood of $12 to $14 million a year. So it doesn't seem good enough. But if I'm laying on the line week in and week out, went through training camp, even put training camp aside, but regular season, all of a sudden Melvin Gordon swooping in, midway point of the year, because he's not thinking about the team. He's thinking about this being counting as a league year so he can get one step closer to free agency. I mean, I look at that as being kind of tough walking back into that room.
Well, yeah, and you're right. And the thing is, we saw that a little bit where it didn't happen with Le'Veon Bell, where his team, especially the offensive line, they started getting ticked off.
Yeah.
You know, they were out there grinding, competing, and playing. And he wasn't there. And so then if he were, I know it didn't happen with Le'Veon Bell, but if he would have came back, you know, at late, it'd be a tough locker room.
Right?
No, you're not wrong. I can agree with you.
I'm sure there would be some guys that would be there with open arms and say, welcome back.
Yeah, to your face.
Right. Exactly. And I'm sure then there would be other guys that would be quite bothered. It would bother me. It would, especially if I have a contract.
Right.
And just thinking about selfishly, I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. The Chargers got an opportunity to be one of the teams in the AFC, and then this kind of scenario plays out.
Yeah, and you know, I think what happens is, look, if you're missing camp, like so, you just missed a preseason in camp, like Zeke Elliott. Okay, that's one thing. Guys are sweating and they're grinding, they're busting their tails, trying to make the team or keep their starting spot. That's one thing. Once the season starts, it's different. That's when it really matters for these guys. So then if you're coming back late to the dance, like right now for Zeke Elliott, I think his teammates will accept that much better.
I'd agree with that.
You know what I mean? Than a guy coming in week 7 or week 6 of the season, you know, after holding out or whatever, you know. So that's tough to swallow. And so I agree with your point. And I think it's also important to mention – Very recently, Melvin Gordon started following on Instagram the Raiders, the Eagles, the Falcons, and the 49ers. So it just started following. So that's interesting. So, you know, we live in a social media world, as you know, so it's like that's how these guys send. He's probably verified on there. So when he follows a team like that, they get a notification. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like players now can send messages to teams because of social media without even using your agent.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that. You know what I mean? What a time we live in, Ted.
It's crazy, right? Think about
when
that.
When you're able to...
Click a button and you notify them. Yeah, hey, I'm interested.
Hey, right, exactly right. But Gordon, if he misses game one, and right now it's pointing to the fact that he will not be there week one for the Los Angeles Chargers, Taz, $330,000 that he's going to be giving up. In terms of salary and a game check, just slightly less than the, what was it, $840,000, I think, a game that Le'Veon Bell gave up a year ago with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think it was around $840,000. $330,000, though, for Melvin Gordon. Not a bad day's work.
No. Maybe this Austin Ekeler deal. My Charger running back on my fantasy team to Pete Gass might be a better deal. Right, Ekeler's going to be the main man now.
Yeah, sure.
Pete Gass, pay attention, son.
One NFL coach done talking about audibles. Next, Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.